Good morning. Today's scripture reading is from Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 to 16. Again, the Lord appeared to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary mortals that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Was born. Well, good morning again, everyone. We have been in a series called "And His Name Shall Be Called," where we have been looking at these names that the prophet Isaiah spoke so long ago and that we in the Christian church have often associated with Jesus, especially as we're in this Advent and Christmas season. And I'm really excited about what we're going to do today, because today is a little bit different than anything we have ever done as a community. The bottom line is I'm going to talk less today. Some of you are like, yes, Doug Ranger just fist pumped. It was great. But I want to talk less today because this is a noisy season of our world, right? It's noisy. We are busy people. I feel like we start the month of December and we just go as fast as we possibly can until we get to the end of the year. And so I think sometimes we need a moment just to exhale, just to breathe, just to listen to God and maybe take our foot off that gas pedal. So I'm going to talk a little bit. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Isaiah and why he said these words and what he was going through and maybe what we're going through. But there's going to be chances for you to connect with God in your own way, for you to respond. Now, if you think, okay, the thought of response makes me very anxious, I want you to let that go, because you can respond as fully or as little as you want. This is your space. This is your next 20-some minutes to connect with God and have maybe a moment of peace, a moment of God with us in a very busy time. So as we get started, I want to invite you to pray with me. God, we look for you. God, we look for your presence. We look for your comfort and your hope. God, we know that you are with us. We say that, we name that when we use this word Emmanuel. But sometimes, Lord, we know that can be hard to find. It can be hard to see. So Jesus, our prayer today is that we would see the things that we name, that we would draw close to you, and that we would remember that you are our loving God, God with us, a God we can trust, a God we can experience, a God we can know right in this very moment. Jesus, thank you for your presence with us this morning. And we pray that you would do what you will with this time that we have today. Amen. Amen. Well, as we begin today, I want to begin by exploring the thing that I think Isaiah was carrying with him The thing that motivated him to do all the other things, that motivated him to have these public acts of faith, that motivated him to bring this message from God, this thing that made him bold enough to say, people, change your ways, come back to this God who loves you. The thing that let him speak a word of hope, even when everything around him seemed hopeless. And I think that thing that Isaiah was carrying was longing. Now, you might have anticipated that I was going to say something much more positive and churchy sounding, right? Something like faith or hope or joy or devotion. And I think Isaiah had all of those things in his ministry. I do. I think that was part of him. He was a person that was really connected to God, that was really close to God. But I think it was longing that made Isaiah so unique. Because the longings that Isaiah were carrying, they weren't simple, small things. Isaiah was longing for things to be different. He was longing for people to be reconnected to their God. He was longing. He was yearning for hope just to show up in any way that it could. And the thing about these longings that Isaiah had, truthfully, about the longings that you and I carry into this place today, is that those longings felt difficult because he couldn't see a resolution in sight. He didn't know if those things he was carrying around would ever actually come to fruition or happen in his real life. And Isaiah was in the unfortunate position where he just knew all the things, right? He knew things that he couldn't unknow. He had seen things he couldn't unsee. He had this message from the Lord where he felt like he was just screaming into the wind, telling people, stop what you're doing, stop what you're doing, come back to God. But no matter how hard he screamed, people didn't hear him. So that's what Isaiah was carrying around with him. He had this message. He wanted things to be different. But he didn't have very much control over what would happen. One of the issues here as I read through the book of Isaiah, which is what we've been doing during this series, is I think a lot of Isaiah's longings weren't being carried by enough people. I'm not sure the people Isaiah was talking to really understood just how important it was that they follow the things Isaiah was laying out, that they listen to this word from God. I'm not sure that a lot of the people Isaiah was talking to could even hear him over the noise of everything else going on in their lives. I think sometimes our lives are a noisy thing. They're a busy thing, and it can be really hard for God to break through all of that stuff. That's what Isaiah was going through as he tried to give this message of both warning and hope. But even though that was Isaiah's reality, it didn't change the possibility for Isaiah that God could be present. It didn't change the truth that Isaiah kept jumping in there saying, here is the word I have for you. Here is what God wants you to know. Maybe I'll try one more time, and maybe you'll listen. What I love about the book of Isaiah is that in this book, hope and longing can coexist with each other. Those aren't mutually exclusive things for Isaiah. And so my question for us this morning is, can hope and longing coexist for us? Can we look at all the things that are going on in the world? Can we look inside of our own hearts and see the things that are just broken or are weighing us down? And can we name those things honestly, but also be able to say, I know this is broken, and I know God can be good. I know that I can't see the end of this story, but I know God can be at work. You know, I think sometimes the only way we can live in such a holy and complicated space like that is to just come here in a way that is so honest, in a way that names the longings that we're carrying. And so that's what I want to invite you to do in this first moment of response today. As you walked in, you should have gotten one of these journals. So this is the time when you can pull it out. And you'll notice that around the room there are colored pencils. Maybe you have a pen on you. And so as this next song plays, I want to invite you, if you are someone who likes to respond through writing or drawing, to take a moment and do that. You can just name the things that you're longing for right now, whatever you're carrying into this room. So you might be a person that you want to make a bullet list. You like lists? Those, I do too. Those are good. You might be someone that you want to write a poem or an essay or something like that. You might want to draw a picture. But you also might find that that's not really how you process things. That's not really how you connect with God. And so as this song plays, our friend Kylie made us a video that actually names some of these things that we long for. And so if you're sitting here and you're thinking, I don't really know how to put what I'm carrying into words, I don't really know how to articulate this, that's okay. You don't have to. Let the video do it. Let the video guide you through this moment of reflection. Or maybe you are in this place today and you're just tired. You're just tired and you don't have a lot left to give or receive. You can take these next few minutes and just close your eyes. Just listen for God. Just let the words of the song sort of wash over you. Wherever you are in this moment, that's a faithful place to be. So I want to invite you into that space right now.
Straight.
So it's a faithful thing to name our longings. It's a faithful thing to have to wait. And you know, that's really the core of this whole Advent story that we tell every single year. We spend 4 weeks remembering people who waited, remembering stories that felt unfulfilled. If you read through the accounts leading up to Jesus' birth, you run into stories like Elizabeth and Zechariah. They were this couple of senior citizens. They had been married for a long time, and they had had this longing for a baby that they had never seen fulfilled. And they just waited and waited on God and wondered, God, when are you going to show up? What will this look like? And then eventually that baby came, and that was John the Baptist. And then they had to figure out what their life was going to look like with this beautiful disruption and this change of the whole plot. You've also got people like Mary and Joseph who are living a very different story. Mary and Joseph who were dealing with this baby that they didn't expect, this baby that they weren't looking for, and all of the things that that would bring to their life. They had to ask questions about, what does this mean for all of the plans that we made? What does this mean for our reputation? What does this mean for us to be the ones who parent this person who the angel said is going to be the savior of the world? What does that mean? I mean, can you imagine holding that kind of longing and those kinds of questions? We see this idea of longing and waiting in the bigger story that Isaiah is in with people, a group of people who waited for centuries, who said, God, you made us a promise. We believe you keep your promises. But my grandma was waiting on this, and my mom was waiting on this, and we're still waiting. God, how long do you want us to wait? You know, when we read these familiar stories, especially around Christmas time, stories that a lot of us know, whether or not we spend a lot of time in church or not, it's so tempting to put these biblical characters right up on a faith pedestal. We think, oh, these people, they're so holy, they're so faithful, aka they are nothing like me. I can't relate to them. But what I want to encourage us as we read these stories and we think about longing and waiting is that these are just stories of normal people. They were doing some things that tested them, that stretched them. But God didn't pick them because they were so exemplary or so different. They just ended up in these stories. And they remind us that God has been inviting people to enter into longing and waiting faithfully for centuries. And God invites us into that space too. You know, in the scripture that Amy read for us today, we see the story of King Ahaz. And I love this story because God comes to Ahaz in this story and God says, Ahaz, I want you to ask me for a sign. Now, the Bible is full of people that are demanding signs from God and God being like, could you just trust me? Okay. But with Ahaz, God comes to him and says, ask God for a sign. And you know what Ahaz says? No. Ahaz says, no way, God, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to test you. But God won't let it go. God keeps coming to Ahaz through Isaiah and says, ask the Lord. Ahaz, let your longings agitate you. Let yourself care about something enough to do something about it. And when Isaiah talks to Ahaz, he says, basically, Ahaz, you're tiring me out. Like you're wearing God out. Could you please just respond? I think this is why this lands so deeply with me. Because I don't know about you, but for most of my life, people have told me, be patient, be content, calm down. And now I'm not saying contentment isn't a good spiritual discipline. Okay, we can talk about that in another sermon. But I think when I read this story, I see contentment isn't always the most helpful response. In fact, sometimes being too content can get in the way of what God wants to do. And I think when God talks to Ahaz, God's trying to lead Ahaz into a place of holy discontent. And maybe God has led you to a place like that too. You know, when we experience this name, Emmanuel, it changes the way we interact with the longings that either we wrote down or we saw on the screen or we hold in our hearts. It changes what we think is possible, and it changes the way we view ourselves in this story. Emmanuel, God is with you. I want you to hear that again. God is with you. And God is with you in so many ways. That takes so many forms. You know, we hear that phrase, God is with us, and we can think of this really abstract spiritual sense. But God is with you in so many concrete ways that come out in how you are made. You and I are walking around, and we are expressions of that idea that God is with us, that God is at work, and we get invited to step into these places to live out God's mission in this world. I think sometimes we're surprised at who God works through and how God works. But when I read through the Bible, I just think God's favorite thing is to work through unlikely people and unexpected circumstances. That's like God's specialty, and it always takes people by surprise. It always confuses us, but I think it should encourage us to remember that who we are is welcome in this story, that who we are is welcome to respond to these longings that we name. You know, I know that some of us in here are feeling like we are in a place where we can really act on those things that we've named, the things that we're longing for. Some of us are in a place where we feel a little bit stuck because of those. Some of us feel like we are carrying a lot of light, and some of us feel like we are bringing a lot of darkness to this spot today. And one of the things I don't think we talk about enough in church is the role that darkness plays in our faith and the value that darkness can bring to our communities. Now, I love hope, okay? I love hope. Hope is the foundation that our story is built on. You will hear me talk about hope all of the time. But I don't think when we talk about darkness, I don't think when we talk about heartbreak or despair, that it has to cancel out that hope that's real. Like I said for Isaiah, longing and hope can coexist, and I think that's true for us too. The light and the darkness can live together. They don't get rid of each other or make one less valuable. I think sometimes darkness actually brings its own possibilities. It draws us into the mystery of how God works. It draws us into the way God meets us in our waiting. I want to share with you this reflection from Cole Arthur Riley. She talks about what happens when we encounter darkness. She says, growing up, when our power would get shut off, all of my siblings and cousins would sleep in the same room together. Not because we were afraid, maybe some of us were, but I think we knew even then that it's easier and more interesting to wait through the dark together. Sharing what flashlights we had, clinging to each other's shirts to get to the bathroom, connection became vital, instinctive. How can Advent remind us of the need for community, for fellow sojourners through the dark? In Christian stories, Mary goes to her relative, Elizabeth, after learning she was pregnant with the Christ. She doesn't hold the secret or its weight alone. There's meaning in this. In a small and sacred community, Mary, Elizabeth, and their husbands wait for the mystery to unfold together. So today, we have a chance to enter into that mystery together, to enter into whatever darkness or light that we're carrying. In this next moment of response, you're going to be invited to come to one of these tables with the candles on them. And if you are someone that has entered this place today and you're like, I am carrying so much light, like I feel it, I am excited, I'm expecting something, I'm seeing how God is moving, we need that light. You are invited, if you're in that place, to come up and light one of the candles. There are tapers up here that you can just kind of put on the smaller candles and light another one. There will be wax. It will be okay. Just blow it out before you put it back in the jar. But if that's you, if you're carrying light, we want to invite you to come up and light a candle. And if you are someone who you are sitting in that holy mystery of the dark, we want to invite you to come up and grab one of the little snuffers and put a candle out. We don't often extinguish candles like this in church. It feels maybe a little counterintuitive. But the reason this is important is because all of our stories have space here. All of the ways that God is working in your life, that matters right here and right now. And we might end up with tables that are completely lit or completely dark, and anything is awesome because it's who we are. It's faithful and true to what God is doing, and we can hold that space together. Now, like I said at the beginning, there's no forced participation. So come up as you feel led. It's totally self-directed. You can stay in your seat. You can pray. You can, again, just listen to the song and let this be a quiet moment. But I want to encourage you, if you feel led, to come forward to do that and to sort of show where you are and participate in this together.
Light of God came
Let's pray together. Emmanuel, you are present with us in the light and the darkness. God, you are present with us every season of our lives. God, I'm grateful for this community that can hold those things, where we can bring the truth about our lives directly to you and to each other and know that it is safe and it is holy and it is good. God, whether we lit a candle or extinguished one or weren't quite sure what to do, I just pray that we'd remember you meet us there. And that God, when you look at us, it is with nothing but kindness and love and grace. Jesus, thank you for this story that we tell this Advent. And thank you for the story of yours that we continue to live. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to invite you as your